Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, former State Senator Warren Hardy and Dylan Sullivan, senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council, and then our pundits, Nick DeArchangel, Director of Communications for the Nevada State Education Association, and Robin Reedy, former Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program former State Senator Warren Hardy. He is principal with the Hardy Consulting Group, and Dylan Sullivan, who is a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council. So my first question is to former Senator Hardy is, for somebody who is so Republican, what are you doing hanging out with a tree hugger?
That's a great question, Sam. So, you know, when I was in the Senate, we were starting the process, which Governor Sandoval has taken and run with, of trying to position Nevada for economic development to expand beyond the gaming industry and the mining industry. And we've done a pretty good job of that. But one of the things we've sort of aspirationally gone after as a state is renewable energy, electric vehicles. And we've sort of announced that we're the center of the universe for electric vehicles and other things. But when you do a careful analysis, in some cases, our policies and our statutes don't match that aspiration. And it's problematic because we do have some companies that want an RPS standard of a certain amount that we don't match, and so they won't even look at Nevada. So it sort of does violence to our efforts to attract these types of businesses that we've indicated we want to attract if our policies don't match. So for me, obviously, I've always felt I was always supportive of the RPS standard when I was in the Senate. But for me, it's also a very, very much an economic development issue.
And companies like Switch and Tesla have made a big deal about an Apple of going as much as possible with renewables and energy independence to the point where Switch has actually left the power grid. So
that's the point.
Yeah. Dylan, let me ask you this. One of the things that you guys are interested in is increasing the renewable portfolio standard.
Yes.
And Assemblyman Brooks, who's going to be on the program next week, has got a bill where he's looking at 80% renewable. California, which Nevada has looked at and gone, wow, you guys are crazy, but good for Nevada, at a 50% renewable standard. What do you think is realistic?
Well, I think 80% by 2040 is realistic, but the number that I'm focused on is the 50% renewable portfolio standard by 2030. A lot of people have looked at whether it's possible to integrate that amount of renewable energy on the grid, and it is. It doesn't mean we can sit at our hands and do nothing, but if we knit the Western grid together, better, have better communication and coordination among power plant operators and the people who operate the grid. And things like basically using energy more flexibly. So there are energy uses that we can move around in time, like hot water heating. We could be charging electric resistance hot water heaters during the day when the sun is shining. We could be charging electric vehicles during the day when the sun is shining to use later on. So there are all these strategies that we can use to integrate renewable energy better into the grid. And I think the other really important point in terms of feasibility is cost. And we've looked at the cost of going to 50% renewables by 2030. And it's a really small bill impact. And the reason it's small is because the costs of renewable energy have fallen dramatically recently. The fundamental unit of a solar field is a solar module. And the cost of solar modules have fallen by 90% between 2008 and today. And solar energy in Nevada is some of the cheapest electricity in the U.S. Envy Energy signed a power purchase agreement with Tekren for a project in the El Dorado Valley. And that power purchase agreement starts at about 3.4 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's the lowest price power purchase agreement that has probably ever been signed in the U.S.
How much of that is responsible via government subsidies?
That's a good question. So right now, there are federal investment tax credits for solar. Those expire in 2021. That's one of the reasons we think it's really important for the state to move now so that they can monetize those tax benefits. Without those tax benefits, the costs of solar would probably be in the 6 cents range in Nevada right now. So it's providing some benefit. But even at 6 cents, I think solar would be competitive, especially a bit into the future.
Senator, one of the things that we've looked at over the last few years is with California's potential for 50% portfolio from renewables, that Nevada's looked at this as a great opportunity to build power plants and transmission lines to get the power into California because the restrictions there and the regulations are so onerous. Where are we going to have to build more plants here in Nevada, or are we going to import energy from other states? How is this going to work to be able to boost, if this all goes through, Nevada's portfolio?
I probably should let Dylan answer the second part of that question, but with regard to the first part, because it's sort of related to economic development, you know, it's absolutely true that we import now. We import our natural gas. You know, I think, what is it, Dylan, $300 million a year or something?
So it's actually, I looked at this just last night. So Nevada ships $700 million out of state each year to power its natural gas-fired power plants. And Nevada gets 75% of its electricity from natural gas, and Nevada has really small natural gas resources. So,
which is stunning when we have all these renewable resources in Nevada.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a huge opportunity to do exactly what you're talking about, Sam, and we're missing the boat.
But let me ask you this. I'm playing devil's advocate here because I'm a fan, obviously, of renewables. I have solar at my house. You know, fracking up in Elko County, which I believe has slowed down at this point in time, but you know, we have the potential for fracking here, which would release natural gas. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a very inexpensive form of energy. When we look at the ratepayers who are going to foot the bill for this, how do we balance that out?
Yeah. So, Sam, I really think you should just sort of change your opinion and view about the cost of renewable energy, because things have really changed. If we were proposing this policy 10 years ago, I think, you know, maybe even I would agree with you partially. But now it's just not the case that renewable energy is more expensive than fossil fuel fired resources, especially in Nevada. We can do this at a very reasonable cost.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with these guys right after this timeout.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former State Senator Warren Hardy and Dylan Sullivan, who's a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council. So let's go back to the question that the senator wanted me to put to you, mm-hmm. which is, you know, where are we going to get the energy, renewable energy, because we don't have enough in this state to get to 40 or 50% at this point in time. And especially as we're shipping a lot of what we are generating through renewables to California.
Yeah. So we've looked at this and we think that to meet the 50% by 2030 standard that is in Chris Brooks's bill, we would need to build about 3 gigawatts of solar capacity here in the state. That sounds like a big number. It is a big number, but I think there are definitely enough sites with good access to transmission facilities to do that. And doing that would invest about $3 billion in the state's economy, create lots of jobs in installing those solar facilities and maintaining them over time, and perhaps even manufacturing once you're looking at that big of a capital investment. So Nevada would have to build a lot, but I think that's a good thing for the state. Isn't that what the state wants?
Absolutely. But, you know, what we've seen in the past was that we couldn't get purchase power agreements. For example, the big Chinese company, ENN, mm-hmm. Was trying to build down in near Laughlin, a huge solar farm. And California Edison had no interest in purchasing the power from them, and so they didn't build the manufacturing plant there. You look at this and go, well, it sounds great. Also, the jobs really come with the construction. It doesn't take that many people to run these solar facilities. So you would have
It also doesn't take many jobs to operate a natural gas facility as well.
Yeah, so, I'm just saying, you know, when you talk about jobs, it's construction jobs, which are great, but they're not necessarily permanent.
And I think the thing you have to take into account is that there are a lot of companies that are that look to a state's renewable energy policies when they're making their relocation decisions. So there are 83 companies who have signed this RE100 agreement. It's not just Twitch and Apple and Tesla. It's 83 big companies like BMW, Apple, and Procter & Gamble who have said that we want to get 100% of our electricity from renewable sources. Google is going to get 100% of its electricity from renewable sources this year. And I think by really sort of making the statement that Nevada is going to develop this resource, export it, yes, but use it in its state as well, is going to be a big attractor for businesses to locate here.
No doubt on that. I do want to bring up an article that's in the current edition of Range Magazine, written by Michael Kaufman, the PhD. And he talks about near disasters with places that have, gone with total renewables. For example, wind power failed in South Australia. They had to close down the last coal-fuel power plant because of heavily subsidized wind energy, and the cost went through the roof. Renewable energy is not just confined to Australia, but in Germany, they're building 23 new coal-fired power plants to overcome serious deficiencies of green energy. France was forced to close 18 of its 58 nuclear plants for inspections.
It seems like probably a good thing to close a nuclear power plant if there's a safety issue.
I'm not disagreeing, yeah. but the point is that, you know, are we putting all our eggs into two or three baskets? Because the sun doesn't always shine, as you can tell in the morning we're taking here in Nevada after a giant snowstorm again last night. The wind doesn't always blow. Storage becomes, a huge issue.
Yeah, so I haven't read that article, but it sounds like that author is seizing on a couple of real grid challenges that have happened in various places and sort of painting a story about renewable energy as the cause of those challenges. I've read about that South Australia incident, and basically what happened was that there was a lot of stress on the grid that day, and the grid operator could have picked up the phone and called the wind operator and had a conversation about whether that plant should be taken offline or not, and they just didn't have that conversation. There were real kind of coordination challenges, really simple kind of human interaction and systems that failed in that case. It's not a problem of renewable energy. It's just people doing things the way they've done them forever.
And Sam, I would remind you that when the automobile industry when the automobile was first invented, there were accidents as well. I mean, it takes time to develop these technologies.
Yeah, and these aren't renewable energy accidents. I mean, I think yes, we're getting the grid to 50% renewables is going to require some changes in operating procedures. It's just that we have to look at those in a clear-eyed manner and not blame them on this one resource, because the sun goes down every day and we can't get solar power at the nighttime. From a solar photovoltaic plant, we can do it from a solar thermal plant. But that output of renewable energy technologies, while it's variable, it is very predictable. So we do know we have a good idea of what a plant is going to be producing a day ahead or an hour ahead or 5 minutes ahead.
Okay, and that's where we have to leave it. But lots more to come on this topic. And Assemblyman Chris Brooks will be here next week. Thank you both for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome Nick DeArchangel. He is Director of Communications for the Nevada State Education Association. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So ESAs, obviously, one of the huge topics of the session. Where does your group stand on this as far as NSEA goes?
Well, the Nevada State Education Association is firmly committed to a quality public education for all Nevada students, and the ESA private school voucher stands in the way of that vision. It basically takes money, taxpayer money, and shuffles it over to private schools, and we feel that the governor's commitment of $60 million would be better used for programs like Zoom programs, programs that are showing promise and programs that are working, and bring more money into those programs for all students.
Now, as you well know, this session is going to be a situation where the Democrats are going to propose and the governor is going to either agree or veto. This looked like, the big deal of the session with Michael Robeson and Ben Kiekhaver saying no ESAs, no budget. Where do you think this is going to end up? Do you think that there's going to be something that's going to have to go towards ESAs?
Well, it seems right now that it's a showdown, right? You've got both sides drawing lines in the sand. But I'm hoping that the proponents for the voucher system look really hard at the data, look at the studies that show, even by proponents, there's a phenomenal study by the Fordham Institute that came out in July where they say, look, we know this isn't going to be very popular. We support vouchers. But the fact is that students that use the voucher programs have a decline in English and math scores. I think when you look at the results of this, the return on investment just isn't there. It's a program that just shouldn't get off the ground. I think that with this data put forward, I think with good conversations, that instead of that program, we'll see money go towards the governor's other programs that are showing promise.
Are you concerned that it seems from the Las Vegas Sun stories that the zip codes for which most of these ESA applications are coming from are middle and higher income neighborhoods rather than poor? Would you be more supportive if there was more effort made to include poor schools or poor areas, I should say?
Right, and I'm familiar, and that is a phenomenon that is that happens across the country, right? The students that take advantage of those programs tend to be higher income students. But to answer your question, no. And the reason why is because we know that it doesn't help any student that takes advantage of the vouchers, but it also hurts the students that are left behind in public schools. So if it was expanded and there was something that allowed lower income where they were suddenly entering into the program, it still wouldn't solve underlying issues with public schools. And also, even if those that revenue exists or that there's some sort of solution, private schools still discriminate. They still have the option of whether accepting students or not. And the research shows that the schools actually discriminate not just on basis of LGBTQ, but also income levels. So it's not a solution, and that's why we're firmly against it.
And that's where we have to leave it for now. We'll see lots more of you in Carson City. Thanks for being here, Nick.
Thanks, Sam.
We'll be right back. And we welcome Robin Reedy, former chief of staff to Governor Givens, to Nevada Newsmakers. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
So MPRI released a press release last night saying that they have filed a lawsuit against Senator Heidi Gansert for separation of powers violation, representing plaintiff Doug French, and saying that she is in violation of Article 3, Section 1 of the Nevada State Constitution. Mr. French seeks the position held by Mrs. Gansert at the Nevada System of Higher Education. And in the release, they say her continued employment in the state executive branch as executive director of external relations for the University of Nevada, Reno, puts her in direct violation of Nevada's separation of powers clause now that she is also serving in the state Senate. What do you think the chances of them being successful with this are?
You know, I think it's a 50-50 proposition to see what they'll determine. I think it's something that needs to be decided. But if we're going to have a citizenry legislature, you're going to have to accept the fact that people will work everywhere, including cities and states, so in those positions. But I do think it's something that needs to be decided.
Do you think
it's a bad way to try to get a job, though.
To say the least. But do you think that this is going to go to the Supreme Court?
I would actually like to see that happen. We've talked about this for years with people in various positions, and I think it's important that it get decided so that people don't waste time. I think Heidi is a great representative. I think her background on in politics as well as in what she does as a job is very important to have that kind of knowledge. I think she makes a great legislature, but I guess we need to decide it because this has come up more than once.
Yes, it certainly has over the past, but never been resolved. Okay, well, that's where we have to leave it, and we will find out. Thank you so much for being here, Robin Reedy.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, it's an all-pundits show with Russell Rowe, Jesse Wadhams, and Andrew McKay. We'll see you on the next broadcast.